Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I want to thank you for joining me today. Today is a very, very special episode for me, and it's because we have completed the continental trifecta or something. We have interviewed people from Europe, Africa, South America, Central America, Australia, and today we are completing the whole puzzle by adding Asia to our list. So this is very cool. It's taken us almost a year to get here, but my guest today is Janisha Alora. She is a former Miss Singapore and a Southeast Asia Woman of Excellence. She is the founder of Soul Rich Woman, the number one female entrepreneur network in Southeast Asia that connects more than 200,000 women across the region, including Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Janisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob, for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Well, you now, not only are you a former Miss Singapore and, you know, Southeast Asia Woman of Excellence, you are also a smart person. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You bet. So let me just kind of, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is because I am all about empowering minority groups, okay? And I know that it's kind of weird to think about women as a minority because in numbers, there are more women on the planet than there are men. But when it comes to businesses and being entrepreneurs, women are a minority. And so can you talk to me a little bit about your outlook on that and the work that you're doing to empower women?
So I run Soul Rich Woman, the leading female entrepreneur network here in Southeast Asia. And I travel Southeast Asia extensively. So I'm like 3 weeks in Vietnam, 3 weeks in Cambodia, 3 weeks in Malaysia, and then I travel Indonesia and countries like this. So when I visited those countries, because I do online, so I can be working with a laptop anywhere, in a hotel, in an Airbnb, by the beach, doesn't matter where. But when I was on the ground, I met a lot of women whose earning capacity and power were within 250 US to 500 USD every single month. And that made me rethink how I want to grow Soul Rich Woman. And the purpose of why we are focusing as a mainstay here in Southeast Asia, and then, of course, eventually growing international. I think the economic status of a woman is not defined by, I would say, society anymore, because the internet has opened up. And we wanted to help women to have a platform where they could, for example, hop on to learn something structured, because there is a lot of information out there. You can't piecemeal a car together. You can't put together a car together because I want to have a car. And then, okay, I buy the wheels, I buy the steering wheel, I buy the doors, and then try to put it together like a Lego set. So we want to provide a through-train solution where they can get started at just only $12 a month, where they could learn how to build a brand online, be confident online, to own and love the F word, which is being fabulous, having freedom, financial independence, and a happy family.
I love it. So I have to tell you that the show is a clean show. We don't do any swearing on the show. And so when I was reading your biography and you were talking about the F word, I'm like, oh boy, this is dangerous. But your concept of being fabulous and being financially sound and having time for your family, all of those things, it's so encouraging. Let me throw in there, I come at this from a different perspective. I'm a male, but I've got a disability. And when I look at people with disabilities, the employment rate of people with disabilities here in the United States is poor. And not only that, but so many of the jobs that they're doing are poor paying jobs. And so what you're talking about is empowering women to become independent and to be able to earn their own wage and be able to kind of set their own limits and kind of break that ceiling of earning potential. And I see very much the same thing for people with disabilities being able to, that's why I became an entrepreneur, is because I realized I'm not going to be able to earn as much as I would like to working for someone else, I've got to open this up. And it's really, it seems that there are so many groups around the world, and I would love to figure out how we all work together to, you know, get that rising tide that lifts all boats, because you're doing great work.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me then, as you're doing training, the people that you're working with, are they only doing online work? Do they have like physical, shops, or what kind of work are the women doing that you're working with?
We basically work with four groups of women. The first group are the 9-to-5 employees. They are looking for a side hustle. They wish to stay in their jobs. They just want to have something like a second income, facilitating their financial independence or something that they wish to be fabulous about. And the second group that we work with are the 9-to-5 employees but wish to exit. That means they've already started something. They eventually want to earn and then get out of that rat race and then join the entrepreneurship path. And the third group of women, surprisingly, are on the rise, which is one group that I serve here in Soul Rich Woman is stay-at-home moms. A lot of them used to be in the corporate world, but gave up their working life for their children. I mean, I believe, Rob, yourself, you have triplets.
Yes.
All amazing. Two girls, one boy, and your wife is so amazing. Just like these women, they're so amazing too. And they give their life to educate this next generation so that they can be smart and educated in the way that living to their life's best potential. So these are the third group of women that we serve. The last group of women we serve are female entrepreneurs. That means they own cafe retail chains, they own studios, they are yoga trainers, they are coaches, they are consultants, they are property agents. They basically are full-fledged entrepreneurs and probably have been it for 1 to 3 years. And some of which of the entrepreneurs that we have crossed $5 to $10 million. So depending on which range that it is, we serve them differently with our various programs.
Sure. So where would you say that you're seeing the largest group? Because is it in the 9-to-5 who are looking for a side hustle? Is it the people that are looking to exit the corporate world? Is it with the stay-at-home moms, or is it with the entrepreneurs? Which of those is kind of your largest group?
Currently, the largest group, I would say, would be the female entrepreneurs who are already exiting the 9-to-5. That means they are transitioning. I see quite a lot of women transitioning because they probably have left for a few months. They're floating and they're thinking what to do or feel a little bit lost as to how they are doing it. Some of them are early stage entrepreneurs where they are in their first to third year of entrepreneurship and probably are not fulfilling their F word in their own way. Whether is it the fabulous that they want, the freedom that they want, the financial independence that they desire, or even their family, because to be making that money and then providing that for their family and spending more time with them. I mean, what is that reason why we are doing entrepreneurship, right? So really boils down to the big why, as to why these women are doing what they are doing. So like I said, the biggest group of women I serve are those who are transitioning and they are looking for a way out.
Okay. And so let me just kind of transition. You mentioned that they're looking for their why. And I'm curious about your why. Why did you decide to do this? What made this a passion of yours?
Well, one of the biggest why that I'm doing this is for my family. For me, my big why is all about my mom. It came from there because I started working when I was really young, when I was 14 years old. So I would say I'm an old soul. My mom, even up to today, almost 70 years old, she is still a leader in the community. She helps other women, she counsels other women, she coaches other women, she trains other women in the area of wellness, health, and being positive and happy about their life. So that continuously inspired me to be that pillar of strength and support. Besides that, I have gone through of course, business failures and my ups and downs. For example, I've gone through my six-figure debt. I've also came out of it. And then I started a cafe retail chain. And that has gone to three countries with 18 franchisees and licensees. And after 4 years, we exited to a public listed company. So culminating all my experiences, I want to help other women to shortcut their success. You see, success is never about glorious wins. It's about taking a step back so that other people and other women can shine as well. By leaping off my giant shoulders, giving them an opportunity to shortcut their path, to save time so that they can achieve what they are dreams, their dreams, faster.
Wow. So I love what you just said there. You're talking about success is not about yourself, but success is about empowering other people and creating a platform where other people can generate their own success. I love that. Maybe this is just a stereotypical thing, but in many countries, women are second level citizens. Women are, you know, they're not given the empowerment by society. How do you have to deal with that? And how do you deal with those societal issues?
I think for Southeast Asia, the key thing is we always talk about, okay, let's talk about us being Asians. We talk about finding a husband, getting married, having kids, and then, you know, taking care of the husband and taking care of the family. And that's the main thing. And if you were to do that, you are A-list. You are an A-list filial child. Okay, to the entire family, you're A-list, A-star student to the lineage of your family. So we have a culture that is such ingrained in the society that women, you know, you should be cooking and staying at home, taking care of the kids and the husband, and be that as that. You see, because of societal change across the years, and internet has opened up, women become more educated, and opportunities of learning has sprouted out no longer based on traditional institutions, but more focused on online, right? People can learn on mobile phones. People can learn as and when in between. Like, for example, listening to a podcast, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, or background tasking and learning at the same time when they're cleaning their homes. So all these opportunities provide women windows of potential of growth, no longer just in the four walls where they have to wait to go to school, put their kids to sleep, or, you know, wait for their husbands to be home. They can now have the freedom to learn anywhere, anytime. And because of that, when someone is learning, their brains are growing, they are thriving. So this environment of thriving allows women now in Southeast Asia, I would say, to continuously grow in not just the home, but also externally to do what they really want to do at the same time. For example, in Philippines, it's a fertile ground for female entrepreneurship. When I was there, a lot of the women were still stuck in buying and selling. Buy low, sell high. Buy low, sell high. But do they really understand what is the opportunity of branding, of personal branding? How does it help them to break out of the traditional customary thinking of, oh, okay, doing online business means I have to buy something at a lower price and selling it at a higher price. So when online platforms like us open up to them and they can reach out to us and we can reach out to them both ways, I can tell you there's a spark that helped them to shine their diamond really brightly.
Yeah, that spark, I was thinking the spark that really lights the fire that gets things really boiling and rolling. I love that idea. It's something that you're doing as a network. And you've got over 200,000 women that are involved in this, which is phenomenal. I guess I'm wondering, are you doing like mastermind groups? Are you doing classes? Is it a series of, you know, is it a series of teachings? Are they done live? How is the information shared with the women in your network?
My ecosystem is a membership system where we, because of our experience traveling Southeast Asia, I used to charge $700, $1,000, you know, for a year's of membership program, right? And because we traveled on the ground, like I said, my membership programs for many years fall short or fall flat. We had had failures setting up this this entire system. So it was not like one size fits all. You really need to know your audience. So love your customers more than you love your product. So we enter the market at different levels. So having said that, our entry level will be a $12 a month subscription. That's where most of the members are at, where they can learn every single month with the provided guidance in the membership area. And then when they step up, they could attend $500 programs that are one-day live streaming classes. They could ask the instructor questions. They could ask things that pertaining to podcasting, live streaming, creating an online course, or even about digital marketing. And then we move up to coaching and then masterminds, and we even do groups stuff as well. So all these things are layered and targeted to different markets and serving different levels of entrepreneurs. Because like I shared with you, we have stay-at-home moms, we have 9-to-5 employees who are pivoting, we have full-fledged entrepreneurs who will not come in at $12 a month. They'll be paying $50,000, $100,000 for a done-for-you service and coaching and mentoring as well, plus a mastermind. So all these things comes to play by the fundamental principle of love your customers more than you love your product.
Yeah, that concept is that as you take care of your customers, that's who's ultimately buying from you. You're building a relationship with them, and your product comes secondary. Let me just ask you, the name of your organization is Soul Rich Woman. What prompted you to include the concept of soul in? Because a lot of people would be, you know, become a rich woman. That's something I want to be part of. What made you choose the name that you chose?
I personally believe that mind, body, soul must be aligned, because I think money is just a vehicle. It's not the way out. If you have a soul and you're aligned, that's when you can develop riches, both on the inside and the outside. And that's how Soul Rich Woman came about, because you can only give when you're overflowing with abundance and happiness.
Okay. That right there is something I think that many people overlook, that idea that you can't give from an empty bucket. Your bucket needs to be full. And as it is full and it overflows, then it's something that's going to be able to flow to others and is a place where you can give from. I'm curious as well. You talked about the fact that your business is kind of a combination model where you're doing traveling, but you're doing a lot of remote work. Is your sales force or your instructors or your organization, are they in a central location, or are they kind of spread throughout the region? And how do you kind of manage that? Because it's a huge area and it's kind of all spread out. So how does that work for you?
I have gone online since 2013. So I learned how to hire remote employees. And that is one of my biggest secret sauce, I would say, is human resource. And not just localized in an area, but leveraging the power of internet and cross-border international relationships to really do this entire business. I'm really blessed to be able to learn this skill set called the art of delegation. I think we don't want to be the bottleneck. What we want is, as founders and CEOs of our company and organization, we must learn to empower and trust our people to do the work. And even if they make mistakes, let them fall and learn, because we can't be there all the time. And for the company to grow, you must really learn how to delegate 80% of your to-do list so that you can focus on your zone of genius and let your business grow.
There are two things that I want to highlight that you said there. The one is having the confidence to allow people to fail. And in doing that, that is how people are going to ultimately learn what works and what doesn't. And if they're always, they're learning to think for themselves. So they're learning to, okay, this, I tried this before and it didn't work. Rather than it just being, I always have to do what I'm told. Now you're creating people that are empowered to make decisions that are based on what works and what doesn't. The other is for yourself. You said that you're talking about delegating 80% of your to-do list so that you can focus on, and I love this phrase, your zone of genius. Can you help people define what is, how do you find what your zone of genius is?
Wow. Your zone of genius means that something that you're truly happy when you're doing it, when you are talking to your friends, you helping them, for example, in gardening, you especially love to share gardening tips. That could be your zone of genius. And let's say you are really excited every single time you talk about baking and you're really good at making lava cakes, and that is your zone of genius. So zone of genius is not some huge Nobel Prize that, you know, it's unattainable, that you have to be some PhD holder or be out there or be in space in on the moon to be that person to get that. So just remember, very simple, simple things that you have repeated even without you knowing, and people have given you feedback that, hey, you're really so good at this. That is what I call the zone of genius.
Right. So, and I think that this speaks to one of the problems that entrepreneurs have. Entrepreneurs go into business because they do this thing and they want to, that like, this is what they want their business to do. But then there is so much of it that is actually running the business. And so you're talking about delegating the parts, kind of the parts of running the business, so that you can focus on what is truly the essence of who you are and what you're good at. It makes a lot of sense. I'm curious, is your organization solely limited to people who are in Southeast Asia? Are you open to having people who are from around the world? Because this sounds like something that is a value to so many women in places, you know, worldwide.
We are, of course, open internationally. We have already got clients around the world who are buying our digital products, probably living in Asia, or even if they're based in the other side of the world, it doesn't matter, because what speaks to them? Who is that teacher or whom the message that can catch their attention? So it really boils down to whether we are a good fit and whether there is a spark in between the consumer and the provider.
It makes a ton of sense. Can you just briefly touch on, tell us about your journey as an entrepreneur, that kind of what you have learned along the way that has kind of really given you the passion that you have and kind of the understanding that you've developed?
Wow. As I've mentioned, I started working when I was 14 years old because my family, financially, we were not sound. So I was often bullied in school and it really hurt my self-esteem. My mom always tell me this, turn your mess into your message. And that didn't really sink into my heart. It just kind of go around my head, right? And it was only through my growing years that I realized that, wow, how powerful a lesson that is. I graduated as an occupational therapist because I wanted to help people, but I went through SARS. And it was a very difficult season for me because it was a time when I see life and death and a decision to really look into how I can live the life that I really want rather than based on that certificate or that graduate that I graduated from. So eventually I moved into image consultancy, at the same time joined Miss Singapore. And then I kind of got stuck where I work, I get paid, I work, I get paid, I don't work, I don't get paid. So that was in 2012. And then eventually I moved online in 2013, made my first pot of gold by going online, $100,000 in 3 months and $1 million within a single year. So part of my money I invested into the cafe retail chain. Then we started with four other partners, and we grew to three countries, Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, and had 18 franchisees and licensees. And then after 4 years, we exited to a public listed company owner. So this has been my journey before Soul Rich Woman. And it is very precious to me because this serves as a foundation to the basis of why a platform, an ecosystem must be developed for people to be able to be engaged in multi-facets. That's why the F word was born. Fabulous, freedom, financial independence, and happy family. You see, entrepreneurship is not one-sided. That means, okay, I do entrepreneurship, right? There must be a reason, or how does it look like to you? I will say, how does entrepreneurship look like for you? Because what it looks like for you or sounds like to you may not be what it looks like to somebody or sound like to somebody over the other side of the world. So it's very important to allow people to express themselves, yet doing entrepreneurship at the same time and doing themselves at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny. We don't appreciate the wisdom of our parents until later in life. And your mom's idea that your mess becomes your message, that's great. And I appreciate you sharing your journey. Listen, Janisha, if people are looking to get a hold of you or to connect with the Soul Rich Women Network, what's the easiest way to do that?
Well, I have two free gifts for you. The first one is Secrets of Personal Branding. And that is the book that I've written, and now I want to gift it away, and it's downloadable on my website. And the second free gift is, how do you delegate 80% of your to-do list to your assistant so that you can focus on your zone of genius so that you can make money online? And all these are available at soulrichwoman.com, soulrichwoman.com. And for the rest of you, if you love today's episode, you can connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram at Janisha Allura. GeneciaAllura. Janisha Allura.
Perfect. I will put those links down into the show notes so that anyone who's interested can download the material and then they can connect with you on there. That is absolutely fabulous. Janisha Allura, you have been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing both the work that you are doing and the journey that got you there. I appreciate it. It's time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these?
Let's go.
All right. So who is your hero?
My hero is my mom. She is my biggest pillar of strength and support. As you have heard, Turn Your Mess Into a Message has helped me to touch millions of lives today.
It's beautiful. What did you want to be when you were little?
I've always wanted to be a veterinarian. And really, I love animals and pets so much. But because of my family financial status, I couldn't go further than what I was doing. So in the end, I help people.
Nice. Do you have pets?
Yeah, I have three cats.
Three cats. Fantastic. Just for the record, what are their names? They'll get a shout out here on the show.
Manja, Meow Meow, and Tiger.
Nice. So what does Manja mean? Because in it sounds Italian, and in Italian it means to eat. But what does it mean?
Manja means that you're so comforted and you're so sticky. That means you're really like sticking to you every single time. Like someone, when you're walking to the toilet, they'll follow you to the toilet. They will sit on your lap when you're reading. They will try to get attention all the time.
Got it. And I'm sure that seems like it would be a good fit for the personality of a cat.
For sure.
All right. So last question. As you are traveling around in Southeast Asia, what is the one food dish that is kind of your comfort food, that when you're feeling like I've been away from home for too long, what is the one food that you will eat and it says, this makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside?
Cup noodles. Whenever I travel, I bring my cup noodles. So in case I'm not used to food, I'm just a little bit homesick, I will take my cup noodles. That's the easiest.
That's, I mean, like, are you the cup of noodles that you just like boil the water and pour the water into them? Is that?
Yeah. And then you cover up and then 3 minutes later, your noodles are ready.
It's so funny because when I was working, I had a case of those, or, you know, like a pack of those in my desk. And when I didn't feel like going out for lunch and I'm right with you. It's kind of warm and comforting and it just makes you feel good and wonderful inside. Janisha, thank you so much for sharing. You have established that you are smart. We have established that you are a person through three questions to establish your humanity. And I have learned from you. So thank you very much for being on the show. To all my listeners, I appreciate you being here. Thank you for helping me with this journey that we have now touched every single continent. And subscribe to the show, leave a review, send us a message, connect with us on social media. On social media, it is at LFSP podcast, as in it's the initials at Learning From Smart People podcast. And love to connect with you and love to hear from you. And I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.